إن الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن والاه. We are on the topic of what Allah Subhanahu wa Taala has questioned, which we have answered on the Day of Judgment, which is, what did you do with the knowledge that I gave you? And yesterday we reflected on the question. Today I want to remind myself anew. What should we be saying to this answer, as the answer to this question? The question is, what did you do with the knowledge that I gave you, and what should the answer be? The answer has two parts. One is with regard to practicing what we learn. The knowledge of Islam, especially, as well as other knowledge, but definitely knowledge of Islam, is not abstract knowledge just to accumulate some information. The knowledge of Islam is active knowledge which is to be practiced. And if it is not practiced, then the knowledge not only makes no sense, but also the knowledge becomes a witness against you on the Day of Judgment. For example, if you acquire knowledge about the way of making salah, but if you don't pray, then obviously, having that knowledge is of no use. And secondly, the fact that you knew that salah was fard, and you knew how to do salah, but you did not pray, becomes a witness against you, a hujjat against you on the Day of Judgment. And we ask Allah Subhanahu wa Taala to save us from that. So the first and most important part of knowledge is to practice whatever we learn, bring it into practice in our own lives. That is the first part. The second part is to convey this to other people. Now, the issue of conveying is not just to convey anything randomly which we get from anywhere, but also to convey in time, in appropriate times and appropriate places. That is very important. As Imam Nawawi or Imam Shafi'i, rahmatullahi alayhi, Allah alam, I forget which one, but one of them said that not everything which is known should be mentioned, and not everything which is heard should be broadcast. Meaning that not everything which you know is necessary to tell somebody, and also not everything you hear from someone, even though the source may be good, but not everything is meant for everyone. Not everything is meant for the general public. And this is one of the fitan, one of the tests and trials and tribulations which causes a lot of fitna in today's world, is this issue of broadcasting random pieces of information, right? For example, there is a hadith, there is a Sahih hadith, where Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, if I am not mistaken, I think it is narrated by Anas bin Malik radiallahu anhu, where he said that Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was riding on a on an animal, and he prayed while riding on the animal, and he prayed in whichever direction the animal was moving. Now, the problem with just narrating something like this without the context of it is that people might now start praying in any direction they want. Then why do I need the Qibla? I have the hadith. The Prophet ﷺ prayed in whichever direction the animal was. That is not necessarily the Qibla. So I can pray in any direction I want. Now, without the context of that, without understanding what is the meaning of this hadith, where does it apply, right? So that's why it is very important not to simply broadcast and say whatever we have. Another Sahih hadith of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam from Bukhari. A man came to Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and he said, "Where is my father?" His father had died, right? So he said, "Ya Rasulullah, where is my father?" Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, "Your father and my father are both in Jahannam." Now this is a Sahih hadith in Bukhari, right? But the point is, in a general gathering of Muslims, if you say that Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's father is in Jahannam, what kind of, first of all, it is completely unnecessary. You have no reason to worry about where the father of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is. It is not your problem, right? Jannah and Jahannam does not belong to you. It is not your father. So you worry about yourself, you worry about your father. There's no need for it. Second thing is that in a general gathering, if you mention, this hadith is Sahih, there is no doubt about it. The hadith is absolutely Sahih. But in a general gathering, if you mention a hadith like this, it can only cause fitna, It will make people, some people will feel sad, some people will get angry, some people will start an argument, and it causes all kinds of issues. So that's why not everything which is known must be mentioned, and not everything which is heard must be broadcast. So it's very important to understand. There is a time and a place for everything. There is a time and a place, there is a way of saying something, there is a way of explaining something, and there are groups of people to whom things should be mentioned. This is not a matter of hiding knowledge, we are not hiding anything, but appropriateness of the knowledge. Similarly, for example, talking very, somebody sent me the other day, it was a whole detailed discussion, very, what is the way to look at, to say it, a very sort of, you know, graphic description of the act of sex, talking about what is permissible in Islam and what is not permissible in Islam. I mean, reading that thing was like reading some pornographic literature, literally. And this is narrated, this is written by one of the shuyukh, one of our modern shuyukh. Now, technically speaking, nothing wrong with that. Because somebody has to say it, somebody has to explain it, right? But is it something that should be generally broadcast everywhere in every kind of gathering? No. So even though the knowledge itself might be correct, one must be circumspect with regard to what do you say and where do you say it, in front of whom do you say it, how do you say it. All of these things are part of the tarbiyah of a person. Now today, unfortunately, we have this mistaken impression where people take this this hadith of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, where he said, "Ballighu anni walau ayah," he said, "convey from me even if it is one ayah," and people then start, you know, talking about anything they want, in any situation they want, anyhow they want, and then they have this dalil. The Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, "Convey from me." The Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, "Convey from me to whom? Who was he talking to? What were they conveying? What kind of things did he talk about?" And if you take the specific meaning of it, he said, "Ayah," which refers only to the ayat of the Quran, right? So therefore, issue of conveying of knowledge, one point is this, which is that yes, knowledge must be conveyed, knowledge must not be hidden, but when we convey the knowledge, we must be aware and we must convey the knowledge in keeping with the time and the place and the audience of what audience who is listening to what we are saying. So that's one part of it. Second part of conveying of knowledge is to convey knowledge without fear, especially in times of trials. For example, right now we are going through a time of terrible time of trial, where Muslims and Muslim rulers are taking stances which are completely and totally against Islam. They are supporting groups which are slaughtering innocent Muslim men, women and children. And they are supporting those groups because of their political ideology, because of their political considerations, because they are worried about their own thrones and their own seats, and therefore they are giving them aid and they are talking openly in favor of them, and they are directly or indirectly persecuting people who are on the haq. And very sad to say that they have their own tame ulama who are supporting them, who are either directly supporting them, saying they are right, or they are indirectly supporting them by telling people, don't talk about this, keep silent, don't even discuss this in your own majalis. Now this is knowledge which will become a hujjat against them on the day of judgment. Because they know that, they know the truth. But they are frightened and they are, or they are looking for, Allah knows what their intentions are. Maybe they are looking for, they are afraid that the fancy salaries and positions that they have will be taken away from them. And we have evidence of this, that we have evidence that those who spoke the truth or stood for the truth, they got sacked from their position. So maybe others are afraid. But the point is that if you are an alim, then you have to live by a standard different from the standard of other people. If you can't do that, then it is incumbent upon you to leave that position of authority that you have. Because if you sit in that position of authority, if you stand on the member of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and if you speak lies, if you stand on the member of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and you keep your mouth shut about the truth, then you have to answer to Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala for this on a different scale not on the same scale as ordinary people. And the dalil for that is that same dalil of Thalas, which I mentioned yesterday. The dalil of the three people, the first one who will be thrown into the hellfire is the alim who learnt and who taught, but for name and fame, or he learnt and taught and he did not speak the haqq, because he was trying to please somebody other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When the truth must be spoken, silence is culpable. Silence is punishable. When the truth must be spoken, silence is culpable and punishable. And today, may Allah forgive us, we are seeing evidence of this. We are seeing clear evidence of this. People who should know better are keeping silent, or they are telling other people to keep silent, or they are directly speaking in favor of the batil, in favor of people who are slaughtering innocent people purely for political reasons. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala save us from that. This is an example of what not to do with knowledge that we have. The knowledge that we get, especially the knowledge of deen, is a trust from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And to make qanaat in this trust, to make qanaat in this amana, is something which leads to the hellfire. And I warn myself and you that let us not fall into this trap. Let us practice what we know, and let us convey authentically, with integrity, what we know. Not do it inappropriately, and also not hide it, and not be afraid of the creatures when we have to face the creator of all those creatures. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make it easy for us and to help us to practice and to convey. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to save us from our own mistakes and to take away the fear of everyone other than himself out of our hearts, so that we can say what needs to be said without fear of anyone other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyil kareem wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in bi rahmatika ya arhamar rahimin.